My mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth, and you have clothed me or girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So in the inspired heading of this psalm, it says that this is a song which David sung at the dedication of his own house. Does not appear to be the house that he built for the Lord, that is the temple. In the inspired heading of the psalm, it says that it's a song which David sung at the dedication of his house. Must have been a neat thing to have been there. It doesn't tell us exactly all the reasons why he sang these very words that day, but they are a part of the inspired Holy Bible, the Scriptures. And they have much encouragement for us here this afternoon. It says in 2 Samuel 5, verse 11, "And they built David a house. Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees and carpenters and masons. And they built David a house." And in verse 10 or verse 12, it says that David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. This was great cause for praise. And so David says, "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me." Now, I'd like to encourage every one of us who are here today with this psalm by showing you the importance of giving thanks to God at all times. I know that's sometimes difficult to give thanks to God at all times. There are some times when you go through very difficult circumstances and you don't feel like giving thanks. But David is a good example for us how he went through such difficult times and situations, and yet he gave thanks to the Lord. He said, "I would give thanks to you forever." And this will be true of all who trust in the Lord Jesus for their salvation. There are three things that you should give thanks for as a Christian person who knows the Lord. First of all, for the healing of your body and your soul. Verses 1 to 3. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit or to the grave." Now, I hope that you're aware that it was God who brought you into this world. I'm pretty sure that all of you believe that. You were in your mother's womb at one time years ago. And then the Lord did this marvelous thing and brought you forth in birth. You can't remember that, no doubt. People told you about it, all the different circumstances that your mother went through. But the Lord was the one who made you. And the Lord was the one that brought you to birth and brought you into this world. And by the way, He's the one who has kept you in this life to this very hour. It was God who kept David safe in all the trials that he went through in becoming a king. And David had been brought to a very low place, a low point in his experience shortly before he wrote this psalm, because King Saul had been chasing him around, trying to kill him, chasing him around the wilderness, trying to find him, first of all, and then to kill him. And actually, he had been doing that for years, for about 10 years. He chased David around in the wilderness trying to get him so he could kill him. Well, why would he do such a thing? Well, he was envious of David. You remember how David killed the Philistine with a sling and a stone? You remember that story, how the Philistine came up and taunted the armies of Israel and nobody wanted to face him? So David came up bringing cheese and refreshments for his brothers. Just happened to come up at that time, and he saw this great big huge Philistine taunting the armies of the living God, and everybody was too afraid of him to go out there and fight with him. And David had experience out there in the wilderness of killing a lion and a bear when they tried to get his sheep. So he said, "This Philistine will be like one of them. So he went to King Saul, and King Saul said, "You can't go out there and face this guy." He said, "You're just a youth, you know. He's gonna slaughter you." He says, "No." He says, "I can do this. I'll go out and I'll take him. The lion and the bear weren't too much for me. He won't be too much for me either." So Saul tried to clothe him with his own armor, but it was too heavy for David. And so it says that he took five smooth stones from the brook, and he went out to face this giant Philistine Goliath. And he slew him there with a sling and a stone. He says, "You have taunted the armies of the living God," but he says, "I'm going to take your head up off of you today, that you might understand and know that there is a God who rules over this world, and I know him, and he's going to let me do this." And that's exactly what he did. He slung the sling, and the stone went out and sunk into the giant's forehead, and he died. He went out there, took the giant's own sword, cut his head off, brought it back, and everybody was just delighted and cheered him on. And it says the women came out singing and dancing and saying, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And it says that Saul was very upset by that. He was very envious that they'd only attributed to him thousands and they'd attributed to David 10,000s. And so it says that he looked on David with suspicion from that time forward. And in fact, he hated David because of it. He thought that maybe David was going to try to take the kingdom away from him, which David wasn't intending to, but God was intending to give it to him. And that's what God eventually did. And at this time of this psalm, that's what David is rejoicing in, that the Lord let him come through that whole time period of 10 years being chased by Saul trying to kill him, and he had not let his foe to exalt or rejoice over him. So God had already had the prophet Samuel anoint David to be king before this, and so David became king after Saul died. And even then it says in the Bible that there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But because God was with David, it says that David's house, or all those in his lineage, his household and all those supporting him, became stronger and stronger, and Saul's house became weaker and weaker. And that's why David says here, "I will extol you, O Lord. You've lifted me up and not let my foes rejoice over me. I have cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave and kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit." So when he said that God had lifted him up, it was that he lifted him up to be king over all of Israel, and his foes were defeated in all their schemes. They couldn't rejoice over him. And God healed David of all these political difficulties, his discouragements, and his worries and his fears that he would die at the hands of Saul someday. He truly had feared that he would, because Saul had chased him for so long and so hard. But what I'm trying to show you here is that there are different kinds of healing. Different kinds of healing. There's bodily healing, and bodily healing which God gives to you when you're sick. I don't know if you've thought about this, but those of you who are older, like myself, you can think to yourself back of times when you were sick, really sick, and the Lord healed you. And how thankful you are to be able to look back on that. You might have been very young when you had some dread disease, and yet the Lord brought you through that. And by the way, the Lord watches over all those whom He makes, and He makes all of us. So He watches over all of us and keeps us in life according to His purpose all the days of His life, our lives. He watches over us. So there's that kind of a healing which God gives. And then there's a mental and emotional healing which God also gives at many points in your life according to His will for your life. As you interact with Him over it, I don't know how many of you have had mental or emotional distress in the past. There are many people in this world who have that kind of distress and who really need that kind of healing Well, God can give that kind of healing. And sometimes He uses doctors to help in that healing. Sometimes He can do that immediately Himself. You'll recall that Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonians, was a very proud man. And the Lord made him be like a beast for a while. Do you recall this in the book of Daniel? Where it says that 7 periods of time went over him, and he went out into the field, and he walked around, crawled around in the field like a beast, and ate grass, and his hair grew long, and his fingernails grew long. And eventually the Lord had mercy on him, though, and brought him back from that, and restored his kingdom to him and his sanity. So when we stop and think about these things, we have to remember that it's God who keeps us in life. It's God who heals us. It's God who heals us bodily and physically. He heals us emotionally and mentally according to His own purpose. Now sometimes what God will do is He will allow us to have some disability or some weakness and continue on in it so that we might glorify Him in the right way by the way that we live our lives. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not. There was a man who was born lame. You remember that in the Gospels? And they said to Jesus, well, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born this way? And Jesus said, neither. But that it was that he might display the works of God in his life. Because Jesus was going to heal him. And He did heal him. And it was a most marvelous thing. But there were people that day that didn't care for Jesus healing that person because he had done it on the Sabbath day, which was a good thing to do, but they didn't think that it was good because they thought that Jesus was working on the Sabbath day and Jesus shouldn't do that, even though he was the Son of God and was the one who was the author of the Sabbath day. But let me give you this thought to think about. There is a healing of your soul when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel that I'm sure you've heard before, you're familiar with. That this is the reason that the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Our greatest disease, if you will, is sin. And it's the reason I say it that way, we're guilty of sins. When we commit sins, we're guilty of sins if we break one of the Ten Commandments. But we also have a sin sickness in our soul that we're born with because of Adam, the first man, who passed this on to all of us so that in our hearts and our minds, until we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this real problem in our heart where we don't really want to do what God would want us to do at many points. Now, sometimes we're raised as a very moral person and we go to church even, and yet we don't quite understand this truth that we need to be saved. We need to be healed from our sins. It's quite a revelation, I know, but it's really true. That Thou would heal me of this disease, that You would take away not only the guilt of my sin, but change my heart so that I love the things that are good and true and right and honorable and want to do them. That's what it means to be born again by the Spirit of God. Unless a person is born again, Jesus says, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. In other words, it's a spiritual kingdom that we're not in by nature, but that when you're born again and when you believe in Jesus, then this kingdom invades your life, your heart, your mind, your soul, and you begin to understand why God made you for Himself, and you begin to think about the meaning of life, and you begin to understand that that's why Jesus had to die on the cross, was for your sake and for my sake, that we might be forgiven of our sins and healed of our sin sickness. So that's where it begins. It begins by faith in Christ and the new birth. Sin is not living for God, but doing basically your own thing, whatever you want to do. And you aren't really concerned, you know, about whether you serve God or not. But when you become a Christian, all that changes. You want to serve God. You want to do His will. You want to go to church and learn of His ways. David cried out to the Lord and the Lord healed him, it says here. David didn't even know the name of Jesus because he lived 1,000 years before Christ came into the world. But David believed that a Redeemer was coming. And a Redeemer is a person who buys you back out of your slavery to sin. And that's what Christ did when he lived a perfect life and he died the sacrificial death. He became our Redeemer. In other words, that when we believe in Him, we are washed, our sins are washed away in His blood, and His life comes into our life, and we begin to understand why we should live for God, and we begin to do so. So in Psalm 19, David said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." That's what I'm trying to tell you about here this afternoon. He sets you free from the law of sin and death, which rules in your heart, until you're set free by Him. And this is why David said in verse 3, "O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit." Now, it is true that the Lord kept David from being killed by Saul, so that he should not go down to the pit of the grave. But these words mean more than this for David. He's saying that God kept him from going down to the pit of hell, that awful place where Saul went, by the way, when he died, that awful place of torment that's reserved for those who really don't love God or want to know Him as He really is, the Holy God. But David was rejoicing because God had mercy on him. That's what I'm trying to show you. Do you understand that when you come to Christ, that God is having mercy on you, dear one? That He's drawing you to Himself, like this afternoon, even through my words to you, or perhaps you know all these things, but I would remind you of them. Well, second, as a person who knows the Lord, you should give thanks for God's being your helper to teach you in His holy way, verses 4 to 10. These verses are amazing. He says, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name, for His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. And I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear me, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper," he says here. So David had this critical point in his life. I want you to see this. Perhaps you have had critical points in your own life as well. The reason that he had this critical point was that he thought in his own heart that nothing would ever move him. That he had it all in himself, the strength in himself, the determination in himself, the ability in himself to take care of himself. And he really didn't need God to help him with various things. But I want you to see that when God hides His face, which He does sometimes from us, when God hides His face, then we become troubled and we sense that something is not right at all. And we begin to think, what is it that I've done wrong? Well, it could be as something as simple as this, that we're trusting in our own strength. We're trusting in ourselves that we're strong enough without God to be able to do all the things that we need to be able to do in this life, whether it's physically or mentally or spiritually, when really we need God at every point in our lives to be able to help us with all that we're doing. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, just how much we are dependent upon God for our everyday sanity, our strength, our health, our well-being, our ability to talk and walk and think and do things, let alone our mental processes, all of our thoughts and trying to put them in order and living our lives to be able to think about what's in front of us or what's gone before. All that takes, you know, the Lord's help to us. And all that can change in a moment. Well, in David's case, it changed in a moment. He said, "In my prosperity I shall never be moved," and then he felt troubled. But I'm trying to show you that he needed to do what he did do. He wasn't moved before, but now he was really moved. And he must have fallen into somewhat of a time of unbelief and self-sufficiency. This can happen to even Christian people sometimes, where you fall into a sort of a time of unbelief. But I'm trying to show you that all this can change for the good. If you'll do what David did, David felt like he was not only might lose his life, but that he was also in danger of losing his soul, even though he was a true believer. He wasn't going to lose it, but he didn't sense God's presence. He didn't sense God's help. So what did he do then? He did the right thing. And he cried out to the Lord. Let me ask you if this is what you do. That when you are troubled, when things aren't going the way that you would want them to, what do you do? Do you cry out to the Lord in prayer and say to Him, "Lord, You be my helper. You be the one who shows me what I should do next, how I should think about this situation that I'm in." And what's wonderful is that God did answer him, it says here, when he cried to him. And so we find David exhorting the saints, that is those who believe in God and believe in Christ, who would read this psalm, to sing praise to the Lord and give thanks to Him at the remembrance of His holy name, for His anger is only for a moment, but His favor is for life, or for a lifetime. And what's beautiful about the Christian life is that's the way that it always is. There are some times when the Lord has to deal with us as His children and discipline us, as it were, to help us to see more about the meaning of life. But the wonderful thing is that's only for a short time, until we learn what He would have us to learn. And His favor is for a lifetime. So at times we might weep in the night and we think, "Well, where is God? I can't find Him." But then the next morning, after you have prayed to Him and cried out to Him, you know once again that He's real and He's with you and He's helping you. Right here in Berkwood, or right here in our lives and our homes and our jobs and everything that we're involved in. And I'm saying that's what Christ leads you into. He guides you into all the truth of what you need to learn. He's always faithful to you and to Himself and His Word. He directs you into the promises of His Word. And then He's faithful to forgive you of your sins when you confess them. And He supplies you with grace to help you in time of trouble. He'll guide you with His eye upon you because He loves you. That's what I want you to see. And then very briefly, I want to mention to you about how it says here, David says here, "You've turned for me my mourning into dancing. You've put off my sackcloth and girded me," or clothed me, "with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to You and not be silent. O Lord my God, I'll give thanks to You forever." That's what the Lord does for all of His saints, for all of His dear people. If you believe in Jesus, you are dear to Him and to God. Can you see that? That's why Jesus died. He died for you so that you might be made glad, knowing that He is your helper, He has forgiven your sins, that God has forgiven your sins through Jesus Christ, but that He's also guiding you and teaching you and helping you, and even gives you joy, like it says here, in the prospect of eternal life. Let me ask you, very simply once again, are you looking forward to eternal life with God? The Queen of England went home to be with the Lord the other day. Can you imagine? 70 years of being the Queen of England, and she went home to be with the Lord the other day. What a glorious thing it was. The whole nation stood back in awe at the whole thing. Well, the Lord had been with her and helped her through many, 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 many situations that she had been in and going through. And I know she is giving thanks in His presence because she was trusting in Him, as far as I could tell. But I'm trying to say that God does this for all of us, turns our mourning into dancing. This happened for David literally one time. He tried to bring the ark. You've heard of the Ark of the Covenant. that box that they would carry around, very fancy gilded box that they would carry and pulls out into battle so that God's presence would be with them in the Old Testament. Well, David wanted to bring up the ark from Kiriath-Jearim, and he tried to do it by putting it on a new cart, but he didn't follow the prescribed rules of the Bible, of the Old Testament Bible. And so one of the men reached out to steady the ark when it jolted and looked like it was going to fall off the cart, and God struck him dead right at that point. And the reason that he did that was because none of those men had proceeded in the right way to carry this blessed sacred box up to its resting place. And so what happened was that David became angry at first about it, but then he became afraid about it afterwards, and he thought to himself, now how can I bring up the ark to its resting place? So then he thought about it, and he got the Levites, the priests, to do what they should have done to begin with. They were the ones that were supposed to carry the ark, to bring the poles out and put them into the ark and then lift it up, and then they would bear it to its resting place. And it says that David danced before the Lord with all of his might. He was dressed in a linen ephod, and he was rejoicing in the Lord, dancing. And that's how I picture this verse being fulfilled for us here today. You have turned my mourning. David's mourning was turned into dancing. God had loosed his sackcloth and girded him with gladness. And I'm just trying to show you here that when you will live your life in accordance with the instructions of the Bible, when you will believe in Jesus Christ, that the Lord will do this for you as well. He'll turn your mourning into dancing. He'll loose your sackcloth, your mourning clothes, and gird you with gladness, so that you'll be able to praise Him like David did here. He says, to the end that my glory, that is all of his physical, emotional, spiritual strength, might sing praise to Him and not be silent. And that's the way that you and I should be too. We should always be giving thanks, always praising the Lord, always looking forward to that time when He will bring us to Himself. Well, let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for this time around Your Word. We pray that each one would benefit by it here today. Help us and teach us these good lessons. Help us to see how close and near You are to us. Help us to pray and call upon Your holy name. Know that You are with us as our helper in all the various situations of our life, bringing us onward and upward to glory. We pray, thanking You for this time. In Your precious name, Lord Jesus, amen.